Bibles this morning to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 4 through verse 5. The Word of God says, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the pilgrim's feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can praise you, Lord, and glorify your holy name. Lord, I thank you and I praise your name today. Lord, that we'll open our hearts and the eyes of our understanding, that today your word will enlighten us, touch our hearts. God, if you do not speak, then we will not hear. We ask that your Holy Spirit just convict us today, and we'll give you praise and glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Praise him, praise him. That's what we need to do. We come to church to praise and glorify God, to worship God today. But the devil, he does not want you to hear the word of God. He will do anything in his power to try to get your attention off of what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you today. Now, some things that the devil uses against Christians today are hatred. We have a hatred today in our lives for different things. Deceit, lying, pride in our lives. But the one thing that the devil, I believe, uses to most is found right here in this passage of Scripture. I believe that the devil today uses discouragement the most in his churches. Discouragement. I find the psalmist here is discouraged. He's talking about things that bothered him. His soul is cast down. As you read this whole passage of Scripture, he's just discouraged. He's at rock bottom. And that's the way that the devil wants you today. And some of you may be discouraged today. Some of you may be at rock bottom in your life. Well, William Carey, the faithful man of God that he was, had many bouts with depression that set in on him in his life. A lot of God's men, famous men of God, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, many men of God have been discouraged in life many times till the point of depression in their life. All of us, if we're honest with ourselves, has come across the devil discouraging us in our daily Christian walk and try to bring us to the point that we're no longer useful in the house of God. Now, this passage I read a few minutes ago tells us all how we can move through the depression, move through the discouragement that the old devil tries to put on us. Let's just glance at it. Three things I want you to look at this morning. I want you to see that the psalmist talks about these three things. You can write them down if you want to, or just remember them in your mind or whatever. But the past, that's easy. The present and the future. I kept it simple. We need to know the past, the present, and the future. Look at what it says in verse 4. When I remember these things. You see, when I remember these things, I had, it says, the past, in the past. Verse 5 says, why art thou? That's the present. And in verse 5 it says, for I shall, that is the future. Folks, we need to see that the psalmist thought about his past, his present, and his future. Now, here let's look at the first one in verse 4. It says, when I remember these things. Now, what things is he talking about? Well, he's talking about in this passage of Scripture the devotion that he once had for God. Now, think about it. The devotion that you had for God when you're discouraged, when you're down and out, when maybe depression sits in on you, or discouragement sits in on you, and the old devil is man, he's real and alive. He's seeking that he may devour you. He says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had once gone with the multitude. Now, what is he remembering? Well, he's remembering not only his past, but he's remembering the place where he used to worship. Look at what it says. I went with the multitude. I went with them where? To the house of God. The sanctuary. The place where he worshiped. His devotion in attendance in the house of God is what he is remembering. Now, maybe that's you this morning. You're discouraged. Or you're depressed. Things haven't gone your way. David says here, remember the past devotion that you used to have when you went up into the house of God to worship him. Remember all the good things. Well, I sat down this week and I just thought about the past. Now, I don't want to dwell on the past, but I do think about it a lot. When the old devil come to me and say, well, you know, things not going well in your life right now. What's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to the church? Well, I look at it as God's church, so I don't have to worry about it. We're his people. But I do recall the past. And when I call the past, I think about all the people that I have worshiped with and enjoyed pastoring over these many years. He's reflecting on, really, we talked about it in Sunday school, the Lord's Day. Remember? Our teacher told us to remember what used to be in where we grew up, how you grew up. And that's all right. I think it really helps you remember mom and dad getting up in the morning. Dad said, rise and shine, boys. We're going to church. Get in there, and we'd have him big old cat head biscuits and some gravy. Boy, I remember that. We raised hogs, and we had hogs, we had pigs, so we had bacon and sausage plenty. Man, we had all those good things that you eat out in the country. We didn't have these McDonald's pancakes that are flat as a flitter, man. Mother made those things that rose up she made them out of that old good scratch, we call it. And it was good, homemade biscuits. And I don't know if you've ever tasted ribbon cane syrup, but man, that's about the best stuff. I grew up on that, and I remember going to the house of worship and how we wasn't any hurry to finish church, or we just worshiped. We got out, you know, we went home. We didn't, like I said, we didn't go out and eat. We went home, had more biscuits. Those left over, mother put them on a big old plate and put a towel over them right there. You could throw some butter in them things, man, and figs and stuff like that. I remember those things. But I remember going to God's house and how I looked up at old Brother Clark and Brother Switter and those old preachers of the past that have gone out of our lives, and how they are there in Rec Law. They'd get up and preach the Word of God. And I thought, man, that old fellow, he's active. Because they got alive back in those days. Well, he's remembering the Lord's day, and he's doing what God says. Remember the Sabbath. Well, today is the Lord's day. This is the Lord's house. And as we gather to worship, I want you to think about the past a little bit, how you used to worship God. Nothing would keep us out of church. Man, we were there. I remember when we started this church, and God's called me, 1985, the starting of the church, and 1987, the building of that sanctuary over there. I recall all the excitement around that. I remember 1989, the walls, we had people stacked around the walls, and the pews were full, and we were sitting chairs in the aisle. Oh, I remember all of those things, and I said, oh, how great it is, God, that you blessed us in the past here in this church. Our soul was full of God, our lives, and we were excited about what God was doing and how we decided this building ought to be built in 1994. It was started and finished, and man, it was just a great thing to see the movement of God and how God was blessing. And then 2002 came, and we built that building over there, and Teddy celebrated his 11th anniversary, and he said, it hadn't been that long, has it? Well, yeah, he's been here 11 years, I think, right? Man, it's been a great time. And the psalmist is remembering all those things in the past, all of the people's devotion. And I can remember how our people were so devoted, they would get here early. Man, they would get here early and set up chairs and sweep the things and do things. All of that past devotion. Over in Psalm 122, he says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. I don't know about you, but did you look forward to coming this morning? I did. I always look forward. I know sometimes I'm a little tired, but I always look forward to come to God's house, to see God's people. You see, I know one thing, when we were raised up on Sunday morning, we knew where we would be. We didn't have a choice. We didn't have anything to say about it. You went to church on Sunday. That's what we did. We learned about God. We sat still in church. We listened to the preacher. We listened to the songs. And you know what? I think that's where I learned so many of the old gospel hymns, listening to them and singing those hymns. We should look forward to coming to the Lord's house. But today we don't, do we? Today our generation has, we've turned away from the Lord's house. And if we can do anything else, then we will do it. But that's not what this psalmist says. He said, I was glad when they said, let's go up into the house of the Lord. We're going to shout. We're going to praise God. It's Sunday. It's the Lord's day. Hebrews 10:25 says, the Bible says here, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as much the more as you see the day approaching. Friends, we need to exhort one another. We have people this morning that are here that you may be here and you're wondering, what am I to do? How am I to live? Well, I hope and pray that you can turn to the person next to you and they can tell you that it's so good to have you in the Lord's house today. It's so good that you came today. God has blessed me in this and this is the way. We should remember the past. Not only the place he worshiped, but we see the people. He said, I went with them. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the saints of God. He said, I went with the saints of God. I went with the people to the house of God. I have gone with the multitude, the people of God. The joyful went to church. Praise God, I think Christians ought to be joyful. Amen? Well, let's put a smile on your face then. I hate to look up and see some of you. You look like you've been eating green persimmons. Man, you ought to be smiling today. We ought to be excited about God's house and His people. We long to be with one another. You know, the mark of a truly saved person is that you love your brother. I'm not talking about your relative brother. I'm talking about the brethren. You love one another. And if you're here this morning and you do not love one another, you do not love your brother, you do not love going to church, you do not read your Bible, you don't love the Word of God, then it's probably that you're not saved yet. For when you love God and you love His people and you love the Word of God, that's going to show in your life. You're just going to be doing all kinds of things to let people know that you love Him. And then it says, not only the place and the people, He says, I love the praise of the people. He went to the house of the Lord with praise on his lips and joy in his heart. He came to worship God. So if you're discouraged this morning, think about why you came to church. Why do we go to church? Well, today some see what the church can do for them. But you know that's not the reason, is it? You go to worship God and to see what you can do to serve God. You see, we're in a service for God. We come to worship God, to praise God, and to serve God. And every one of you are important in the work of God. You're not here by accident. This morning, the Holy Spirit led you here, and He's got a calling upon your life, and that calling is that you're here to serve Him. Not just today, but for every day, the rest of your life. Nothing will help you more to get you out of discouragement than remembering the past blessings of God and just start praising God in your life. You know, when you're sad, you ought to just start praising God. I guarantee you, you can't just read your Bible and praise God without putting a smile on your face, opening up your heart to the Word of God. Well, we need to go to church. You know, God deserves our worship, doesn't He? He's the one that died for you. He deserves your worship. Now, the Bible says they kept a pilgrim's feast. I often thought about that. What, they kept a pilgrim's feast? Well, they went to church and they praised God. And if you want to put it in East Texas terms, man, they had a spell. They got happy. They started shouting. They started singing with joy. You know, what are we as Christians? The bride of Christ. Amen? We're His church. We're His bride. You know what? When you go to a wedding, you celebrate, don't you? That ought to be one of the happiest times in any girl's life or family's life, is to see, or you know, a father or a mother, to see their beautiful daughter getting married. And so happy. Man, I've watched them come down the aisle. They're just, you know, when that girl looks at that old boy up here, you know, he's been rugged and ugly, but he's brushed his teeth for a change. He's combed his hair. He doesn't even look like the one she's married or been dating. He's all sharp first time she's seen him in a suit or tux. And let me tell you, it's probably the first time he's seen her in a beautiful white wedding dress. But they come down that aisle, they're looking at each other, and they're, you know, they got a grin on their face. They're just enjoying life. They're celebrating. Well, we are the bride of Christ. When I come to church, I want it to be like a wedding. I want it to be a celebration of life. You see, I can look at God and I know that He's coming for me. He died for me. He laid down His life for me. And I'm going to Him. It's not a funeral, but it's a feast, a celebration in life. And we ought to celebrate God's goodness and God's grace. That ought to bring you out of discouragement. Amen? When we really know what the bride of Christ is, and how we should act and how we should behave. Man, we're something special to God. We ought to act like it. Now, every once in a while, I've come across an old boy or a lady that, well, preacher, when I come to church, I kind of like it quiet. They like it kind of dry. Man, we got too many dry, dead churches. I want it to be alive. We're a celebration time. We ought to be praising God. And the psalmist remembers how he once faithfully, gratefully, joyfully attended God's house. It says, now, when I remembered these things, I poured out my soul within me, for I used to go with a multitude to the house of God. That's his past devotion. We need to remember that. But you know, we don't want to get stuck in the past. Look what he says. He also remembered his discouragement. He was a devoted man at one time. Now he's discouraged in his heart. Some of you are like that. You started out with a blast. You started out smiling. You started out on fire with God. You came to church. Man, I can remember some of you. You beat the preacher here on Sunday morning. You're so excited about getting to the Lord's house. I could almost count the cars that are going to be at the church every Sunday morning when I drove up. You know, I couldn't beat some of my people here if I tried to. They was always there. They was always working like little bees around the church. That reminds me. You see? But Christians are not immune from discouragement. The old devil works through that. He tries to tear you down. And let me tell you, all of us are capable of discouragement. I am. You are. Depression. Look at verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down? Oh, he says in verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Those words, cast down, are like you're a sinking spell, and you've got someone sitting on your chest, and you're pressing the very life out of you. That's what depression does. That's what discouragement does. It presses you down. It's that weight. You're in the morning of despair and sorrow. That's what the psalmist. If you're discouraged, if you're depressed, don't think you're the only one. The psalmist says, I was there and I said, oh God, where are you? You ever felt like that? I tell you what I have. Just be honest with you. I felt like it quite a common and you know, you're out there and you're working and you're discouraged and things not going well. And you say, oh, Lord, where in the world are you? Are you way out there on the far ends of the earth? Are you even listening to me? Don't you see what's going on? Don't you know where I'm at? He is. Some of you are having sorrow. He says, my tears. Look at what it says in verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night. In other words, he can't even eat. He is so cast down in his soul, he's not hungry. He can't eat. All he says is, my tears are my food. I've cried so much. Day and night, I can't eat. Where are you, God? Is that where God is in your life today? You're discouraged, you're depressed. All you can do is think about the tears. And man, you're thinking, God, where are you? Don't you care for me? I'm sure you have. I believe we all have. Even the psalmist says, Lord, where are you? And why? Look at verse 5. Why are you disquieted in me? Verse 11, why are you disquieted in me? He says that. The same thing. You know what that means? Have you ever just, Rhonda says, I moan a lot. And I've caught myself doing that. You come in and your things haven't gone well, and you just sit down in your chair and you, I'm so glad I can sit down. You're just tired, aren't you? Well, that's the way he felt here. He's just tired. He's depressed. He can't eat. And you hear the psalmist right here in this passage of Scripture. In all his pain, look at verse 7. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfall. It's a description, you know, of a sudden downpour. Talking about rain this morning. Man, I like it when it's raining. I really do. But you know what we hear? What do we hear? That clap of lightning. Have you ever been out there? And boy, all of a sudden, bam, that lightning hits. Those thunder taters roll. And the rain just pours down. Catches you out there. That's a description of his life. He's overwhelmed by all the downpour, the depression, the discouragement in his life. He's just overwhelmed by it. And he says, oh, my soul, why is it disquieted? Why is all of this happening? And he talks about in verse 10, as with a breaking off my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Have you ever had anybody say that to you, reproach you? Defame your God, seeking the destruction of your body. Now, folks, let me tell you, all of us go through periods of life that discourage us. It's common among all men. Loss of a loved one. I've watched people in the loss of the loved one just go down discouraged. I've watched through a sorrowful time in someone's life, how they just kind of go down. All the life seems to just flow out of that person. I've watched a man and a woman and the children, they separate in their house and divorce and in that family. And all of a sudden, a family that once served God and once was alive in Christ, now all the air is gone out of that family. Watch the faithful servants that are here every Sunday. All of a sudden, bad health hits them, and they become discouraged. Or I've watched a young man who, you know, works so hard, and he works so hard, and he puts his life into a company, and one day he comes in, and that boss says, listen, I'm going to have to let you go. And he cries out and says, oh, Pastor, what am I going to do? I've got a home and I've got a family and I've got children. What am I going to do? And he's discouraged. Sorrow. You know, it's a bad day. Amen. Bad day. You ever had a bad day? I think of a funny story about a man. He comes in. He gets on his motorcycle and he cranks it up, and out the front he hadn't rode much, and his hand slips off the clutch and he runs through the garage door, knocks it all down, turns his motorcycle over, and the gas pours out all over him and everywhere, and his wife calls 911. Paramedics come out there and he's bruised, his leg is broken, so they pick him up and they take him to the hospital, and she's with him, you know, and they're cleaning him up and setting his leg, and she runs back home to get things ready for when he comes back home, and she cleans up all his old clothes and gets all the old gasoline up and everything and just dumps it in the trash can there. He comes back home, he's walking on them crutches, and first thing he does, walks in there and lights up a cigarette. The fumes are so strong, it just blows him clean down the steps, and he's laying there with his other broke leg. She calls the paramedics and says, would you come back? My husband has failed, had a bad accident. He burned his hair off his head. He's got his other leg broke. They come back, and they're laughing so hard, they drop him. I tell you, he had a bad day. Started to tell you about the time that old guy was laying bricks and the barrel in the bricks, but most of you heard that probably. Use another day if you hadn't. But you know what? We all have bad days, don't we? You get up in the morning, everything seems to fall apart. You go outside and your tire's flat on your car. You got to get to work. You're trying to get to work and the lines are already backed up on the highway and you're sitting there. Something that you've had to do is just going to have to wait. And then you get back in and go home and it's the same way. And you get home and there's nothing to eat. Your wife's had a bad day. Bad day all the way around. And your soul is just kind of out of air. Amen. That's the way the psalmist was. His life had gone down. He remembered, one, his past devotion. And then he remembered his present discouragement. But praise God, he didn't stop there. Look at verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Look what he says. Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He speaks of the past discouragement. And he speaks of his future here. He said, my hope is in God. Now, things are sad and things are hard. And things are discouraging, but when we come to the end of our journey in this life, where's your hope? Folks, my hope is in God. I have been discouraged. I have been blessed. I've been on highs and I've been on lows. But all the time, as I've traveled through this life of sorrow, pain, my hope is in God, for the Bible says he's coming in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and I have a place prepared for me in heaven, and I am going to praise him all the days of my life. He says, whether I'm discouraged or whether sorrow comes my way, my hope is in God. Is that where your hope is today? You're here this morning, and you're discouraged. You're here this morning, and life is not going very well. Are you going to continue to praise God? You see, so many people today, and we talked about this in Sunday school, when things get going rough, the first thing they do is pull away from God. Man, I've watched young couples. They start out on fire with God. They do things for God. They're working in the church. And all of a sudden, something comes along that's different in their life. Instead of giving God praise and continuing, they just sit at home, discouraged. Had a lady tell us one time, not this church, different church. She said, oh, well, I'm just too tired. I'm always sick. I'm feeling so helpless on Sunday morning that I just don't have the get up and want to get up and go to church. But let me tell you something. You go by there Monday morning and she's gone. She's gone to Walmart. She's gone to work. She's gone, gone, gone. She had to get up and go. But the old devil had her beat down on Sundays. She drops out of church. And the first thing she knows, her children have dropped out of church. And the first thing you know, her grandchildren have dropped out of church. You see, we talked about it. We're just a couple of generations for not having any church. And folks, let me tell you something. The church is in dire straits today. It's in dire straits, boy. Let me tell you something. Some of you will go home tonight. You sit there and you say, well, we did have some great times at the church. Man, I can remember how God blessed. Oh, we were told we could never do this, and we couldn't have if it hadn't have been for God. We were told that this building would never happen. It just won't happen because you don't have the finances. I didn't, but God did. Hey, it's paid for now. All we owe is that over there, and it will be paid for. You know, I can remember. But some of you will go home from here, and I'm not trying to hurt you or anything. I just want you to think about it. You won't come back tonight. Oh, you'll put anything you can before going to good church tonight. You know, I had a pastor the other day. He said, well, we're thinking about dropping church on Sunday night. I said, why? Well, nobody comes. Just me and my wife and a couple of others. I said, I don't think I'll ever drop church on Sunday night. Even if it's me and my wife and a couple of others, God may show up. You see, when one or two are gathered together, he'll be there. Folks, think about it. What are you doing that's more important than giving praise to God? Can't you just give him one day a week? You know, I love you, but I know many of you will go out of here, you'll go home, you'll have a nice meal, you have a nice job, you have a nice car, you have a nice house. Who gave you those things? God. And God can take them away just like that. And let me tell you something. When he does, if you're not worshiping him now and giving him your whole committed life now, you'll be one of those that falls out of the worship of God for a long, long time. Because the devil is going to blame it all on God. He's going to tell you, he's going to whisper in your ear, you know what? You went to church, you gave your money, you worshiped God, and now you don't have nothing. What a God you serve. And you're going to believe him because your heart's not really been in it like it should. Now that's just the truth. I love you. But if you love somebody, you're devoted to them. And if you love God, you're going to be devoted. There's not a thing that I can think of more important than coming back to the house of God to worship him tonight, to praise him tonight, to give him honor and glory tonight. This guy says, I have hope in God. In verses 1 and 2, look at what it says. As a deer pants for the water, my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, when I shall come and appear before him. You've got to have a thirst. Ask yourself this morning, do you have a thirst for God? America cries out today, we want blessings from God. Oh, God bless America. And I'm thinking, why should he? Why should he? There'll be more at the Final Four in Dallas than every church in the state of Texas today. And we want God to bless us. It's not going to happen. I've watched it happen time and time again. People become discouraged. People leave out God. You know, sometimes people say to me, I just don't feel like praying. I don't feel like praying sometimes, but when I do, I ask God to help me. And he always helps me. You see, when it's the hardest to pray, that's when we should pray the hardest. A hymn comes to my mind. I was singing it this week down at the gas station. I told the people here Wednesday night, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. You know, I also think of the hymn, are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. You're here this morning and you're discouraged. You're here this morning and all looks dim in your life. You're here this morning, and you've got sorrows in your life that you don't know how to deal with. Tell it to Jesus. And don't stop serving. Pray the harder and continue on. I also think of this, praise him, praise him. Man, I love to praise the Lord. He praised God for his help. And one day, he just kept praising and praising God. And God helped him. Oh, the psalmists, beautiful psalms. You may be discouraged, but let me tell you, if you'll praise God, soon you'll be shouting. You see? Soon you'll be shouting. The old psalmist says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Just when I need him, just when I need him, just when I need him most. He's always there. If you're lost this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to do something. If you died right now and you're not sure where you spend eternity, you need to make sure. I'd hate to die and not know where I'm going. Some of you say, well, how can you know? You'll know. You know if you're saved. I do. You know if you've ever made a personal commitment to Christ, surrendered to him. You know that in your heart. You feel that peace that passes all understanding in your heart. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, then would you come this morning? And by coming, you're saying, I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to trust him. I want to live for him the rest of my life. I surrender all to him. I give him my all. If you're here and you're a church member, but you've fallen by the wayside, you're one of those that says, already, I didn't think I was going to come back tonight. You need to come. You need to come to the altar and say, Lord, you're my strength, my help. Let me serve you fully this year. Let me be what I need to be. Let me be that father. Let me be that mother to my children that I need to be. Would you do that? Maybe you're looking for a church home, and this is the place that God has led you. You feel the Spirit moving here. Won't you come this morning and say, I want to serve with you right here in this place. We want to serve God together for his glory. Whatever the decision you need to make, would you make that today? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the day that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for our people. And Lord, I thank you for the ones there this morning that may be discouraged, that they may be going through a hard time in their life. And you've spoken to them. God, bless them. Bless them like the psalmist and say, God is my help. I will praise him. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.